the smaller states of northern Italy expressed their desire to merge with Sardinia to create a northern Italian kingdom. Parma, Modena, and Tuscany, by plebiscite, voted to join with Sardinia in a northern Italian kingdom. Cavour, I think it's quite interesting at this point, Cavour, up until this point in 1860, had really never thought about a national Italian state that extended south of Rome. He really was thinking himself of a northern Italian state. It is part of Italian political culture that remains very, very much with us in the late 20th century, this enormous divide between the north and the south, with northern Italy, which of course would become the industrial part of Italy, a far more urban part of Italy, northern Italy seeming to be part of northern Europe, whereas southern Italy, far more agrarian, far more economically backward, seemed to be part of a greater Mediterranean community rather than this northern European one. But in 1860, events in the south began to take on a momentum of their own, outstripping Cavour's anticipation. For the first time, Cavour begins to think about the possibilities of there really being an Italian national state that would extend all the way to Sicily. In May of 1860, Giuseppe Garibaldi, who after the fiasco of the Roman Republic in 1848-49, had gone off to South America, where he was once again a revolutionary. Garibaldi, in some ways, I think, is sort of like Che Guevara of the 19th century, appearing wherever there's revolution adventure to be seen. In May of 1860, Garibaldi had organized a ragtag group of men with very few weapons, very crude weapons, no heavy artillery or anything of this sort, about 1,000 men whom he called the Red Shirts, dressed in flamboyant red shirts, and had actually taken Sicily from the Bourbons. The Bourbon dynasty in the south of Italy was tremendously unpopular, terribly repressive, as oppressive, if not more so, than the worst days of the Metternichian regime in the north. Corrupt, with very little popular support, and with 1,000 men, Garibaldi seized all of Sicily, and then had to make a decision. And the decision was to remain there or to move across the Straits of Messina and to move into Italy proper. They crossed over to the mainland and began a march north, heading toward Rome. All along the way, thousands of people began to join with the Red Shirts. Here one sees, if Garibaldi already had a reputation as a great adventurer, a swashbuckling leader, a man of principle, an idealist, and so on, now he became a great hero all over the south of Italy, and also in the international press covering the Red Shirts as they march on toward Rome. It sets a precedent, by the way, of course, as we look down the road from a very different man and a very different political organization. This is what, of course, inspires the symbolism of Mussolini's black shirts and their march on Rome in 1922. The ranks of the Red Shirts swell to almost 60,000. And as they approached Rome, Cavour himself began to get nervous. He did not want to see Garibaldi take Rome. He did not want to see national unification coming from this kind of republican, more radical orientation. And he was also concerned that Garibaldi's move to the north could lead to foreign intervention. So Cavour, in a very, very dicey and dangerous move, sent Piedmontese troops south and occupied the Papal States. Not Rome, but the Papal States. This drew an awful lot of criticism in Italy, even within Cavour's own parliament. But he argued this had to be done in order to prevent the potential for real trouble if Garibaldi and his troops attempted actually to take Rome, for example. Now the situation, the potential for civil war was there. What would happen as Cavour's troops and Garibaldi's merged in the vicinity of Rome?